Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Oh man, you guys sound dead. Are you doing okay? Las Vegas, how are you doing? Love you guys. Vegas is joining us. I'm going to be there in a couple weeks, man. Can't wait to see you guys. So hello, Vegas. Everybody say hello, Vegas. Everybody online, we say hi, no matter where you're at. We're starting up a lot of our campuses now. So we're going to have other people to talk to. But we say hi to all of you. Glad you joined us today. Let's pray and talk. I'm going to warn all you people in the front row. I have a cough drop in my mouth. It could land right on your forehead, okay? If I get excited. Allergies. I've had allergies. So anybody have an allergies besides me? What is in the air? I've never had hay fever like this. Nevertheless, we'll get through it, all right? Father God, bless and anoint this sermon. Lord, I need you to speak through me in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. I'm going to start talking today. I doubt very much I'll get through with what I want to say. Probably have to come back again next week and just pick up where we left off. But I want to talk to you today about the power of the tongue. Please don't go to sleep on me. This is really important. Some of you can change your whole life if you'll start watching the words that come out of your mouth. If you change the way you talk, you can change your marriage, you can change your career, you can change your ministry, you can even change your health. Maybe even your finances. If you just change the way you talk. Now, anybody like to see any of these things change? We'd like to see your marriage change, your finances, your ministry, your walk with God, your health. Does anybody need this beside me today? Okay. I didn't want to announce it ahead of time because I knew people probably wouldn't come. But I'm telling you, there's a real positive aspect to this. You know, I brought out here today something that I shouldn't be handling. This is a chainsaw. This can be dangerous if you don't handle it right. But it also can be extremely powerful and creative. There's a guy up in Tehachapi, and I see him on the corner all the time. He makes these statues out of wood. Have you seen him? Some of them are 8, 10, 12 foot tall. I mean, he makes bears, lions. He makes Neanderthal men. He has one of Bigfoot. He has pigs. He has everything, and I've watched him. He uses a chainsaw, and he gets out there, and he cuts on this wood. I mean, this guy's talented. Now, these things can be dangerous, though. You don't want to put these in the hands of a kid. Our tongues are like this chainsaw. They can be so creative. They can make things that'll blow you away. They can create things. I mean, they can make life wonderful. They can make life beautiful. But your tongue can be so dangerous. So dangerous. I want that illustration to stick in your mind because the Bible says that what? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now the tongue is a weapon. The Bible says it can be a sword. It can be a tool. I mean, you know, I could clear this church out today. I could become tremendously unsuccessful if I got up here and said five sentences of the wrong thing today. That's how powerful the tongue is. Now notice here, it says that those who love it eat of its fruit. See, I've said before, with the tongue, you can plant seeds in people's hearts. You can say things they'll never forget. You can say things by the Spirit, and it says it'll plant seeds in people's hearts. And as these people hear sermons and as they go along, these seeds can turn into fruitful trees. And so we want to plant seeds with our tongue. Look at James 1:21. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Now, you have to do this first. If you don't set aside your old life, you're not going to come to God. So you set this stuff aside, and in humility, receive the word implanted. Now, the word implanted here in the Greek is engrafted. So receive the word engrafted, which is able to save your souls. Now, sometimes in surgery, they'll graft skin. They'll take skin from one place and put it in another place, and it'll stick and start growing. Today, I'm going to say certain things by the Spirit that hopefully they get engrafted into your soul and into your life. When you come here and hear a sermon, not everything that the pastor says is going to stick, but certain things will stick. And those things that stick are from the Holy Spirit for you at that moment and can entirely change your life. Look at Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Whoa, will that sober you up? Whoa. Matthew 15:18. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those are the things that defile men. Now, we've heard it said before, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, usually what we think about the most is what's going to come out of our mouth in casual conversation. If we're worrying all the time, usually in casual conversation, that will come out. If we're a sports enthusiast like me, man, are those Dodgers hot or what? I mean, that'll come out in your speech somewhere. If you have lust in your life, it'll come out in your speech. If all you think about is your family's what you're going to talk about all the time. Vocation, same thing. Now, listen to me. God put us on this earth. He gave us all the tools we need to get life done right. Now, your words are a part of your stewardship ministry given to us by God. Your words are not to be used as you please to use them or you want to. Your words should come under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, hopefully, starting today, I'm going to begin to show you from Scripture how you can turn your life around by the way you talk and the way you use words. Now, I know for me, this sermon has been a long time coming. I might be pointing a finger at you as I preach today, but I got three or four pointing right back at me, all right? I need this sermon. Now, listen to me closely. Some of us have developed bad habits over the years, and the things we say and the way we use our mouth is so built into our habitual daily life that we don't even recognize we're doing anything wrong. It's now been so engrafted into our lives that we don't even notice what we're doing. Some of us complain and gripe too much. Anybody here need to hear that? We get on the freeway and we start griping about the cars on the freeway. We get in the grocery lines. We complain about that lady going through the express lane with 30 items. It's always a lady, right? We go in the gym and we get frustrated with people on their cell phones sitting on the machine that we need. And we start mumbling to ourselves, I cannot believe that. You know what? That's stupid idiot. You know, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about? We're talking to ourselves. We're grumbling and complaining. Can I give you some hints? When I go in the grocery store, I'm really patient because I'll just pick up the nearest magazine and start reading it. They can take as long as they want because I'm not paying for the information that I'm reading. Yes. When I get in my car, what helps me with patience is I put a podcast on. And I get so into that that, you know what, if someone's poking around in front of me, no big deal. In the gym, I pray. I mean, I told my wife today, people got to think I'm crazy. They know I'm not in a cell phone. I pray out loud in the gym. All of a sudden, I'll be going, oh, Father God, today I need, I'll be talking just like this. And the person next to me, they're getting an earful. I'm telling you, oh, God, Father, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I mean, they either think I'm crazy, loony, or something. But that helps me not to have a bad attitude. Some of us, we have so become gossipers that we don't even realize it. If we hear a juicy story, hear something, what do? We go straight to the phone to call someone. And it's so habitual that right now we don't even see it as a sin. We're spreading gossip. We go around repeating the lies very often that the devil told someone else. We're repeating those lies. We talk way too much. Oh, my goodness. Some of us. A friend of mine, Doug DeBerti, got me years ago, and it's one of those defining moments. It was when what he said, it was engrafted in my soul. He said something to me one day. He said, you know, Pastor Ron, sometimes you just say too much. And I went, oh, my goodness, you're right. This was like 15 years ago. And you know what? That changed my life. You can't always say everything you feel. You can't just put it out there. I mean, honestly, if you had to see me texting now, I remember these words that he told me. God used those words. And I'll text, and I'll go back and erase half of it before I send it. Or maybe I'll do two paragraphs and go back and say, no, all I need here is three sentences. That's it. Now, I don't know about you, but I beat myself up a lot. I'll go home at night and I'll get in bed, maybe on a Sunday night or whatever, and I'll start thinking about a conversation I have with someone on the grounds, and I'll go, no, you didn't say that, did you? No, did I say that? Why did you say that? Sometimes I just want to be friendly, and I feel like the conversation is kind of dying on us, so I'll just start saying things, and let me tell you, caffeine makes it worse. Makes it worse. You know, I don't know why, but I'm a late bloomer when it comes to Starbucks. Up until probably 2 years ago, I'd never drank over 8 cups of coffee in my life. Didn't like coffee. And then one day my son brought me one, and I don't know what all that had in it, but it was pretty doggone tasty. And so I'm a late bloomer. All of a sudden now, what? At my age, I got a taste for coffee. And I don't know how to order. I had to call my daughter one day and say, how do you order here in Starbucks? You know, I want to make sure I do it right. And I went through and I saw something. What I did is I Googled. I said, coffee with not many calories and not much sugar. And I saw something with nitro on it, so I ordered it. And this was just last week. And so as I'm driving through, I get this nitro thing and I think, nitro, that's an interesting, because see, I'm really, really sensitive to caffeine. Really sensitive. I mean, you know, I didn't have caffeine for all the years when I had leukemia. I didn't have it. And so when I take a little bit now, it drives me kind of crazy. I was in the back room the other day, and I don't know what my son gave me, but I was back here shaking like this. He said, Dad, hurry, eat some bread. Eat some bread. Get something in your body. But I called Josh, and I said, or I texted him, and I was hoping he was at home. And I said, I just got something called nitro something. Should I be concerned about that? He wrote me back, Dad, don't drink it. Don't drink it. He said, it'll kill you. And so I only drank a third of it, probably 4 sips before I got his answer back in a text. And I was awake till midnight. So don't get anything with nitro in it, because you will talk a whole lot more than you should talk. If you ever be around some of your friends, and you know when they're in caffeine, because they just won't shut up. I mean, they get going, you know, oh, we're high. I've stopped taking caffeine before I come out here because I preach too long. Think before you speak. Think. Just stop and think for 10 seconds, please. Think. We got an acrostic for this. Is what I'm going to say is true? Is it true? Is what I'm going to say helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Why does this person I'm talking to need to know what I'm going to say? And is it kind? Aesop Fables, a donkey one day was walking through the woods and it saw a lion's skin that a hunter had left behind. He shot the lion, skinned it, and lay the skin out in the sun to dry. And so the donkey took the lion's skin and put it over himself and started walking around. And much to his amazement, all the animals scurried and they ran and they were afraid of him. And he liked his newfounded respect. He liked this. And so he got so excited, he started braying about his happiness. And of course, then they knew he was a donkey. The moral of the story is fine clothes may disguise, but silly words will disclose a fool. Look at Proverbs 10:19. It says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. What? When you say a lot of stuff, you're going to sin. He who restrains his lips is wise. How many times lately, am I in a staff meeting or somewhere, and I'll go, well, yeah, I don't need to say that. I'm going to refrain. Here's a test right here. How many times do you hold yourself back in a weekly course of time? Do you have to hold yourself back from saying something? Now, if you're not doing that, then you're not getting the wisdom from this word right here. There should be times when you stop and go, I don't need to say that. Or if you're really doing this right, there'll be a lot of times when you have to apologize for what you said. I bet probably at least 2 times a month I'll have to call someone and say, please forgive me for what I said. I should not have said that. I said too much. And everybody's always gracious. Look at Proverbs 17:28. It's even a fool when he keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered to be a pretty prudent guy. And look at Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. If I had time today, I could tell you a lot of big trials I've went through because of my mouth. Because I said things that shouldn't have been said. And I don't know about you, but I'm impulsive. I can say it quick. Boy, that'll straighten your ears out. Anybody with me? Am I alone here today? I mean, am I speaking to an audience that doesn't need this? How many problems have I caused in my life because I'm too impulsive with my words? I have learned something that very often when I want to say something and it's really radical and crazy, usually if I sleep on it, I won't say it the next day. Or if I do say it, I'll say it in a totally different way. Now, I want you to learn something, especially you young guys that have this macho attitude. You say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time, and it could get you killed. That's the way murder happens very much. I've learned this by watching Gunsmoke every night. It can get you killed. It's so funny. My wife has been so annoyed at me because at night I'll watch 4 episodes of Gunsmoke. Festus is my favorite character. And my wife would go through, you're watching Westerns again. So when I said, sit down about 4 weeks ago, I said, watch this with me. She's a Gunsmoke fanatic now. She loves the show. She says, Ron, we don't have to worry about bad words. We don't have to worry about sex scenes. I know, it's good, wholesome TV. Now, see, some people are walking around, visualize this. They got backpacks on their back. They got these backpacks full of bricks. And man, their legs hurt. And man, they're just in a bad mood. You say the wrong thing to that person at the wrong time, it might get you killed. You got to be really careful with your words. Some of us use words to edify ourselves rather than others. No, we do. Sometimes we use words to edify. We're told to edify other people. That's to be our goal every day. But sometimes we use them to edify ourselves. You know, like, man, I want to tell my boss off. I was going to give him a piece of my mind. You know, and you do. You go out there and, man, you give your boss a piece of your mind, and boy, you feel better. But have you noticed, he still has his job and you don't. You're unemployed. Yes, some of you know that by experience. But I used to be bad at this. I used to have, you know, these put-downs. Some of us, we develop these horrible habits of bad jokes or insults or put-downs or crude language. And we do that to edify ourselves. We want to get a laugh. And we want people to say, man, that was slick. That was a slick comeback. We have to be so careful. Look at Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now, that word unwholesome in the Greek, if I remember correctly, it means don't let any word come out of your mouth that will bruise other people. But only such a word that's good for building people up, edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it'll give grace to those who hear. What if we really took the Word of God seriously, and we just went around looking for ways to build people up with our words daily? Now, think about this. Just two or three words said at the right time to the right person according to the need of the moment can totally be defining moments for other people. Just texting somebody or telling somebody, say, can I sincerely say to you, thank you. Thank you. That one little phrase of two words means that what we did, someone noticed it. And that motivates me to do more things like that. Wow. I just come back to say, thank you. Oh, that means a lot. I'm sorry. Sometimes you won't realize those two words, how it can take a burden off of someone's shoulders, going, man, and I thought you were still mad, and I thought maybe I did something wrong, and you said, oh, wow, that's going to make my day better. I love you. I just sending a text, I love you. I love you. You know what? That one little phrase, I love you, gives me value. It makes you think, I'm an important person to someone. They said they love me. My little granddaughter sometimes tells me, I love you, Papa, I love you, so on. That makes my day. Makes my day. We had our little ones this week babysitting, and the little one's only 1 year old. And I saw her going through the cupboards yesterday going, yum-yums, yum-yums. Little girl likes to eat, man. But these little ones even, they can say things that just make your day. Thinking about you, that does wonders for your self-worth. You think, I thought I was alone out here, and somebody writes and just says, I'm thinking of you. I need you. That makes you feel like I have purpose in life. You won't believe how those little phrases can carry just dynamic weight to them. Sometimes God takes our two or three little words and he makes paragraphs out of them. When they're said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When they're said by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, it's not hard for us to write people daily or text them or call them with these little words. Wouldn't it blow you away if somebody calls you and you say, hey man, I haven't talked to you for long. I just called you. I know you're in a rush today. I just want to say, I need you in my life. Please don't go anywhere. That's crazy. Call you and say, I just want to say I love you. What? What do you need? I just called to say I love you. I mean, gee, this sounds so simple. See, it doesn't diminish the flame of a candle to ignite another one. Notice what it says here, though. Our words and our actions are supposed to be in accordance with the need for the moment. Sometimes the moment calls for silence. Sometimes, if you utter a word in certain moments, you're sinning. Maybe just a hug. Just a hug. Sometimes, we need to rebuke somebody or some situation, and for us to be silent would be a sin. See, I know we all struggle in different ways with what I'm preaching today. Some of us are high-strung. We have ADD, and we have to watch what we say. Others of us are timid. We don't talk enough. This has something for everybody. We need to walk in the Spirit with our tongue. Now, today, I want to start, and obviously, I only have about 20 minutes left, if that, 15 or 20. But I want to attempt to start talking to you about seven things we can do to transform our lives for better just by changing the way we talk. Now, I won't get through but just a couple of them today. I'll come back next week, and if it's the Lord's will, we will continue. But the first one I want to talk about is this. I want to talk about positive confession. Now, I know that phrase bothers some of you because it's been so misused in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles. Now, at the outset, I want to tell you, and most of you already know this, I don't believe in going around and just naming and claiming stuff in Jesus' name. It doesn't work that way. You see, you're a single man, you see this knocked-down, gorgeous chick, and you go, I'm going to claim her for my life in Jesus' name. That's going to be my wife. In Jesus' name, I claim her. Well, you might need to know that she's probably claiming somebody else better looking than you. You don't do that. I claim this new home, this new car. I claim a divine healing. I claim a successful ministry. I claim this job promotion. You can't do that. You claim stuff that you know is God's will for your life. Vegas sits in a building today that we knew God wanted you to have that building, and me and one of our maintenance guys here and somebody else laid hands on that thing, and we claimed it, and it became reality. Again, you haven't heard it for a while, but I'll say it again. When you live by faith, you will do things you would not normally do, and you'll get things you wouldn't normally get. Now, positive confession. As is true with most heresies, they're usually divine truths taken too far. Positive confession is a biblical idea, and we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater because some Pentecostal charismatic people have abused the term. The idea of positive confession is biblical. And I believe the devil knows the power of positive confession. I'm going to take you somewhere. I might have to go 2 or 3 or 4 weeks on this. I don't know. But I'm going to take you somewhere. But I believe the devil is afraid of positive confession. Now, let me ask you a question. Am I the only one like this in my family that I think through the years we kind of started believing in this, you curse yourself by the things you say? You know what I'm talking about? I was in Coconut Joe's with my family a year or two ago. And they were all talking about the flu going around and sickness. And I said, you know what? I never get sick. Never. I said, I haven't had the flu or cold for I don't know how many years. And my daughter goes, Dad. And then we do a stupid thing, knock on wood. Knock on wood. Do you know where that phrase came from? Back in the old days, the pagan days, they used to believe that spirits and gods lived in trees. So when they would say something they didn't want to be cursed for saying, they would knock on wood to wake the spirits up so they would intervene for them. That's ridiculous. But that day in Coconut Joe's, I said, I dare the enemy to get me sick. I don't get sick. I just, the more my daughter said, Dad, the more I poured it on. The next day, I was throwing up so bad, I had a black eye. You know, throwing up can be really bad. Someone said, I don't know, theoretically, you can go blind from throwing up. Did you all know that? If you lean over your head and you throw up, they say, I don't know if in one remote case that happened or not, but you know all the stuff on the internet, it's all truth, right? But I was sicker than a dog. And I thought, man, did I curse myself with my words? It's my opinion that some of this stuff might be directly from the devil, especially in Christians' lives, because he doesn't want you to have positive confessions. He wants you to be careful about saying something too positive. And he says, man, you're going to curse yourself because he knows the power of positive confession. It's all throughout the Bible. In Zechariah chapter 4, the Samaritans were coming against the Israelites as they were trying to build the temple of God. And they were giving them mountains of human obstacles to overcome. And the people of God were getting frustrated. Now, I took these verses kind of order. I want to show you some. But look at Zechariah 4, 8, 9, and 7. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Now, hold it right here, Sandy. I've always told you that faith cometh from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. When God speaks something to you and you know He's talking to you, That results in faith, which is a substance. And then, of course, that faith has to be used. Faith left alone dies. Did you get that? So now, God said this, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it, saith the Lord. His hands will finish it. Nothing's going to stop him. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Now, Zerubbabel, after hearing that, here's what he says. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. And he'll bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace and grace to it. Now notice, he's not speaking about the mountain. He's speaking to the mountain. And he's proclaiming what God said to him. Now, we've got to see that the great men of God and women of God often use this kind of language. In the story of David and Goliath, David didn't tell Saul. He didn't go up and say, you know what? You know, I think maybe I can pull this off. You know, give me a chance. I mean, you know, what are the odds? I think maybe I can do it. He said, no, I can take care of this guy. I took care of a bear and a lion. I can take care of this guy. And then David, when he went to Goliath, he didn't say, hey, dude, you know, you're pretty big and I'm pretty small. Go easy on me. You know, he didn't do any of that. I mean, look at what David said to Goliath, 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, look, dude, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. And this day I will strike you down. And on this day I'll remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He said, I want everybody to know that the God I serve is a big, powerful, good God. And right now I'm going to boast beforehand and tell you, my God said he's going to do it. Watch him do it. And that's great advertisement for God. When you have that positive confession, because you've heard from God, you don't go out there facetiously and say things that you haven't heard. I'm going to have to go back again. Again, it's mandatory. It's important that we learn to hear the voice of God. And so David did just what he said he was going to do. Passages like this. Look at this. Mark 11, 21 through 24. Mark 11. Being reminded, Peter said, and Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed yesterday has already withered. And Jesus answers, saying to them, oh, I need to walk out today. See, this needs to be my whole sermon one day. Just walk out and go, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And walk off, and that's it. Oh, I wished I could do that sometime. That'd be so cool. Truly I say to you, whoever... Say with me, whoever. Whoever. Vegas, say whoever. Vegas, I want to hear you. Say whoever. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, because of that, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you receive them, and they will be granted to you. Can we just stop there? This is the word of God. I don't know what we're thinking. This is the word of God. Now, obviously, you couldn't say to a mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, if you had not heard God already say that to you, right? So if we could rephrase this, we could say that anything that you really know that is God's will, you pray it, you believe it, and then you speak it. I mean, when I first got leukemia and was supposed to die, the Bakersfield, California did a big old thing. They said, Pastor Ron says that he's going to show Bakersfield that God is real. Because God said he wouldn't die, and the doctors at UCLA said he is dying, and he said he's not going to die, and he's going to show Bakersfield that God is real. That's what it said in the newspaper. But remember, I had already heard God four times or five tell me I was going to live, and he confirmed it, so I knew it was a done deal. I wasn't speaking out of you know, assuming something. I already knew. So powerful is positive confession that we need to do it more and more and more. Now, positive confession does three things for us. Number one, it has the ability to create things out of nothing. I know this can't be couched in what these heretics have been teaching. This has to be new and fresh to you. Look at Isaiah 55:11. So will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent my word. Look at this word accomplishing in the Hebrew. It can mean to bring forth, to be busy, to create. God says, when I say something, it will go out there and it will not come back without creating what I want it to create. Now, does it make sense that if we're saying what God is saying, we're creating stuff? You're creating maybe health where there wasn't any health. You might be creating a good marriage where there was a bad marriage. It creates. In Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God has this creative power. Number two, it causes our frame of mind to change. When I use this phrase so often, since I've had three cancers, Ron Vietti shall not die, but he shall live, that he might proclaim the miracles of God. Ah, I'll tell you more about that in a second. And number three, it releases faith in God, and that pleases him. Again, I'm not telling you to go out there facetiously and start claiming things. I'm saying you go to God, listen to him, hear him, and when he speaks, then you speak forth what he speaks once you know it's him. Take the written word of God, and there you don't have to get confirmations. Now, when we say what God is saying, it has creative power. Some of you are sabotaging your life by the way you're talking. Ah, this marriage isn't going to make it. It's just not going to make it. Well, you know what? It's probably not going to make it. If that's what you're going to go around saying, it's probably not going to make it. I just think I'm going to die. Well, you probably will. Some time ago, I was saying something negative, saying, God, you know what? I just don't know if I want to be in ministry anymore. I just don't know. And I felt like God told me one day, so you keep saying that, and I'll make it happen. Stop saying it. I mean, we're going around, you know, I'll never find a spouse. I'll never be married. No. Well, you won't be if you keep that attitude. I just can't take it anymore. I'm going to go crazy if I stay home. You know, you got to watch what you say. One day, a little boy's grandma came to visit, and it was his mom's mother. And she came, and as soon as she got there, he said, oh, man, I'm so glad to see you, Grandma. Maybe Dad's gonna do what he's been promising to do. I said, what do you mean? He said, Dad has always said, if you come here again and stay, he's going to climb the walls. That wasn't in my notes. Someone said, how can you remember jokes so well? I don't know. I hear them once and they just lodge. You got to have a positive confession. Once you hear God, you got to quote his word with positivism. The Bible teaches us that you should quote the word of God as if it was really the word of God. Look at the story in 2 Kings 7:1-3. It says, then Elisha said, he's telling this group of people, he says, the word of the Lord says this. Tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. And the royal officer in whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God, said, ha ha, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, you think this is really going to happen? And he said, behold, you'll see it with your eyes, but you won't eat of it. That's a negative confession. If you don't believe it, you're not. Oh, I have so much to share with you today. Oh, my mind's starting to take off. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. When we speak out loud positive confessions, it just circles around and comes back into our heart and creates something. And I'm not saying to use these facetiously. I went through a problem lately, and I practice what I preach. When I go through a situation, the first thing I do is I'll take and set a time aside to start seeking God to find His will. And during that time, I do no positive confession. I seek His will. I'm real quiet during that time. And when I hear God, then I start the positive confession. Then I start boasting in the Lord. But I have to hear Him. I have to know His will first. Now, the way you think about a problem will influence what you do about the problem. It really will. Again, I said this before, and this is just from my perspective. I'm not saying it's always true. I'm saying to the best of my memory, I can remember this always being true. When people come up and want to be prayed for, and they go, "Pastor, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. When you pray for me, I'm going to be healed. God told me to come here. I will be healed. I will not die." I've never seen one of those people failed yet. That I can remember, not one, who comes up with that kind of heartfelt faith. One with the issue of blood says, "I just know that if I touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be, I know it." Start quoting the Word of God instead of the way you feel. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I said death and life are in the power of the tongue. I was walking around Bear Valley Springs. That's where I'm staying at the moment. And I walk around the lake a lot. And I was out not too long ago. And I started thinking about all my health issues and stuff. And I was saying, "God, you know what? I'm in a good health right now. As I stand here today, I'm in good health." I mean, don't think anything beyond this, but I'm in really good health right now today. But I started thinking about things, and I thought, "God, I don't want to take my health for granted." And I was praying these prayers, and as I did, I said, "Lord, I just feel like that I need to be praying over things in the church, ministries, my health. I need to be praying with more passion. God, I don't have much passion lately. Not passion for the church as much as I used to have. I don't have as much passion for my marriage. And my marriage is great, but I just don't have much passion anymore." And I was walking around the lake, and I said, "God, honestly, if you want me to have passion, you're going to have to put passion in me. Holy Spirit, if you don't put passion in me, I'm not going to have any." And I just prayed that prayer, and I said, "So I invite you, feel free to put passion back into me, because I just don't feel like I'm passionate about a lot of these things." And I mean, 10 minutes went by, and before I was through walking, I was shouting. I was shouting out verses, and where'd that come from? See, I don't know about you, but I said very often, "No normal, you have to see normal." I have God stories, little ones every week I don't share with you. But I'm always calling on the Holy Spirit for help. The other night I went to bed, and I was really, really stressing about something. And I said, "Holy Spirit, if you don't help me to sleep, I'm not going to sleep all night long." So I asked for your help. I slept like a baby. Like a baby. Why? Because the Holy Spirit helped me. Why did He help me? Because I expected Him to help me. The other day I was discouraged. I thought, I want somebody to pray for me right now. I want somebody to pray for me. I said, "Holy Spirit, can you cause someone to pray for me?" Within an hour, a friend of mine wrote me, said, "I need to pray for you today." What would we need to pray about? I mean, it's a crazy way to live. Now, going back to the tongue, I was watching a TED Talk show the other day, and this doctor is talking, and I thought it was very interesting. I don't have time to tell you everything he said, but he said, "Although we have always known it intuitively, science has confirmed the tremendous power our words have on ourselves, communities, and the world. The words we speak not only reflect but shape our thoughts, and our thoughts shape the physical structure of our brains." That's secular. That's not a Christian talking. That's secular. Now, real quickly, because I only have, 50, I got 4 or 5 minutes. I just want to touch another PowerPoint real quick. The second one, real quickly, PowerPoint is don't be culturized. There are times that God tells me to say something, it's not politically correct. And then I catch myself going, is this politically correct or not? Should I say this or not? Well, finally, I go, baloney, I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to say it anyway. Don't be like the little boy who had to give a report on the Thanksgiving holiday, and he wrote, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom from you know what. And when they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. And because of them, we can worship each Sunday at you know where. Don't be like that. Sometimes we want to call an ace, a spade, a spade. Now, I said that, I wrote that in my notes. I said, ace, ace, spade, I better go look that up. And now that has racial negative overtones. What can I say anymore? Don't get caught up in this. Society will tell you, don't you talk about the transgender issue. If God lays it on your heart, you talk about it. Let God anoint it. I mean, there's so many things we can't talk about. I say to society, I'm going to say whatever the Holy Spirit lays on my heart. If I say it wrong, you'll just have to forgive me or whatever. Truth will set you free. You know, this society is going crazy. They're trying to limit freedom of speech. They don't lose this culture. We're not supposed to be culturized. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, you can't say these things. You shouldn't do that. Freedom of speech. If it wasn't for freedom of speech, I probably wouldn't be saved today. Somebody had the gall to say that Jesus is the only way to life. He's the only way. They had the gall to say that to me, and I needed to hear it. What are we afraid of? I think it's the devil trying to silence us today. He does not want truth spoken because, you know, truth changes things. And so he wants us to be afraid of saying certain things. I'm not going to live under that. I mean, I said a while back, cotton picking, and man, I got blasted as soon as I got out of the pulpit. You can't say it anymore. Why? It's racial. It's wrong. Hey, I'm white and I pick cotton, man. I can say that. Don't put that on me. I'm not going to dance to your music culture. I'm going to try to be careful. Yes, do I want to offend? Absolutely not. But I can't live under that thing of, can I say an ace is a spade, a spade? What can I say? What can I say? Can I talk about transgender? Can I mean, I'll do the best I can do. And again, I don't want to offend. But I can't play by your rules as you make them up on the go. You know, I can't play by those. So much more to say. You have to use your words wisely. I don't get it. Why the church is scared to death to talk about demons. They don't want them even mentioned. I will go as far as to say, in a lot of Christians' lives, demons are the root cause of some of their problems. And until they take authority over them, those problems will not dissipate. But we don't want to talk about them. Shh, don't mention the D word. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. That's like if I lived in East LA and you came to my house. And you said, you know what? I know there's all kind of gangsters out there, but we don't use the G word in our house. Guests are coming. Don't dare use the G word. I guess so much more to say. I just looked at the clock. Can I play a real quick video? Real quick video, and then I'm out. I'll resume. I have so much more to say. This video will show you the power of words, and then we'll go. Thank you.
did you do to my sign?
I wrote the same, but in different words.
Thanks, love.
Father God, bless us as we leave today. If there's anyone out there that is listening and doesn't know you as their Savior and God, let them know that all they have to do today is say, God, I want to change the way I'm living. I want to get on this spiritual journey. It sounds exciting. I want to start learning. And so right now, send the Holy Spirit and come and live in my body and give me the strength I need to start following Jesus. I love you. God bless you. See you here, there, in the air.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our